This is your announcer, Shannon St. Mainframe, welcoming you to our IPA Livecast. With today being 420, I would just like to apologize on behalf of Robert, if he seems at all distracted during the show. No, not because of the weed. He just bought a red velvet cake, and he can't wait to dig in. When you're in your 40s, wake and bake takes on a different meaning, I guess. Our IPA Livecast starts now.
It's true. And I'm waking much earlier at age 40. Although I'm going on not too much sleep today. I'll talk about it on the show. I went out last night.
Uh-oh.
Robbo was out on the town, but it is 420, and I have my bong because it's a special occasion. I haven't smoked yet today, so I'm stone cold sober at the moment.
How is that possible?
I woke up late. I was out all night. But welcome to RIP Livecast. It's Rob here with Sid and Darren. We're here every Saturday morning. And you could watch us live on YouTube, on Twitch, on Facebook. And if not, you can download the archive shortly after at those locations or wherever you download fine podcasts. And of course, we love your feedback. Let us know what you think of the show. Wish us a happy 420 or what have you. Or tell us your experience with pot or how I influence you to start or stop smoking pot. At ripalivecast@gmail.com. That's our email address, ripalivecast@gmail.com. And also, we do have a 24/7 live chat going. It's our Discord. You can get the link at ripalivecast.com. That's all the plugs for now. Gentlemen, I went yesterday to a goth convention.
What?
In the very brooding town of Parsippany, New Jersey.
This is fake. This is a fake story.
No. And a castle. A Sheraton castle.
Here, let me. What is this, like where they do medieval times over there?
No. It was a hotel. It was just a hotel. I don't even know why this particular hotel looks like a castle, but it does.
Is it like the limelight where they built something into a castle?
Yeah.
No, it looks structurally like a. It might be a castle that they took over and made a hotel. Are we seeing this? Yeah, here we go.
So you're saying there was just randomly a castle in Parsippany, just for its own sake, that then Sheridan bought. This doesn't look like a castle. I guess, what is this, the Tudor style of home? But I wouldn't say it looks like a, I guess maybe-ish.
In person, it's very castle-like.
It looks like where Pete Diddy brings 12-year-old boys.
Dusty Rhodes Muffler in the chat says, remember when Rob went to NAMM? Now he's going to goth conventions.
Yeah, that's right, baby.
You made a wrong turn somewhere, Rob. I don't know what happened.
No, I didn't. I had such a great time. It was such a unique thing. So
he traded his Elvis jumpsuit for like Hot Topic makeup. And Manic Panic.
Well, I didn't see Jander. So the way I would describe it is it was a Comic-Con without the superheroes. So just like the horror stuff.
So a con.
It was a con. Yeah, like an anime con. Yeah, I expected it to be more of a music festival, but it was really a convention that happened to have music in it. And to be clear, why is Rob at a goth festival? Let's just now, like, why did I decide to go to this thing?
On the prowl for twinks.
There is actually a livecast related reason, which is the headliner of the first night is the great Nitzareb, which Darren recommended to me. Or was it Darren or was it someone in our chat?
No, I was Nitzareb for sure.
Okay.
I remember because I knew Nitzareb just from having worked in record stores. And I was like, I don't know shit about this band, but they're electronic and they're very popular and Rob will like this.
Did you invite Darren to the show?
It was them in 808 State that you really got me into. No, I didn't invite Darren. Wow. I figured he would not want to drive to Parsippany for a goth festival. But so, since we mentioned Nitzareb on the show, which was like 2 years ago, I have become a diehard fan. I am so into them. I love them. And I really wanted to see them live. I would look up like YouTube videos. And, you know, they're a British band, so they don't really come around that often. And they're relatively obscure, you know, like they're pretty big in the electronic scene, but overall, you know, they're not, you know, they're not that huge. Like, they don't even have a wiki.
That's really how,
wow. That's
or crazy. It's like it, I don't know if they don't have a wiki, but I just remember it had like no info. Like, I had to look up stuff on their like Apple Music bio. Had more right. information.
Like, their drummer that. Wrote the Wikipedia entry.
Right? Yeah, like that. That's it's just they're pretty obscure, and so they don't really play. And they were play. They announced for the Vegas festival. Dusty Rose Muffler points out they might not have a wiki, but they have a wiki feat.
Mm. Tony Atlas now likes Nitzaret.
I saw that they were playing. So they were playing this new metal festival in Vegas next weekend that System of a Down is headlining.
You flying out there?
Well, I thought about it because I really, really want to see System of a Down live. It's been too long. But I heard bad things about this festival. First of all, it's in Vegas, outdoors, in the middle of the day on like turf. Not
well, it's
turf.
It's not that bad in April, is it?
No, it's bad. Last year was
outside of December through March. I've never been to Vegas.
Last year they had it, and I had friends that went, and they had a very unpleasant experience. And in general, it's like way too many bands for one day. It's they announced like 200 bands. It might be like a little less, but over 100 for sure.
You don't have to
for
see
a while.
All of them. You just go see the ones you're into.
Sure. Well, what that means though is every band other than System of a Down probably is only getting like 20 minutes. So it's not even worth it. But so I felt like since they're flying all the way out here to go to Vegas, maybe they'll do some other shows. And so I kept tabs. And the closest show and the only Northeast show that they're doing is in Parsippany, New Jersey at the Sheraton for VampireFreaks.com presents Dark Force Festival.
Are they opening for Uncle Floyd?
Well, look at this festival. I want to load the first of all, the website is like straight out of 2005 GeoCities.
Oh, well, isn't Vampire Freaks a website from 2005 GeoCities?
Yes. Yeah. this festival reminded me that Vampire Freaks still exists.
If I'm not mistaken, I went to high school with the guy who started this website.
Wow. Oh, really?
If I'm not mistaken. It was one of these gothy social media type sites from that era.
Oh,
was,
so
there's this dude named Jethro.
Sorry for interrupting, Sid, but it looks like Vampire Freaks is completely just rebranded as a Hot Topic. It used to be like a message board, right? I feel like it was like a community more than just like goth clothes.
But that, yeah, I'm correct. It is Vampire Freaks that this guy started.
Jeez.
Oh, so you know the boss.
Like one. I've never actually. Okay, so this guy was like a friend of our pal Lonnie. He was in his circle, but by the time I joined the clique, he had already either dropped out of high school or moved on, whatever. He was, so we were sort of like ships passing in the night, where I would hear stories about this Jethro guy. Now he calls himself Jet, apparently. But
yeah, can't be
I never
Jethro
actually
met him.
Jet Berylson, I guess.
Yeah.
Is the...
mm-hmm.
By the way, don't
Target
be...
Target in 99.
Be careful if you're in a circle with Lonnie. You might get nutted on, I've heard.
Maybe that's why Jet left.
Yeah, so it started as a social network. I remember, yeah this was like around slightly after Wimmit, if you remember the Russian
oh
social
my
network.
God.
I remember that was the
Russian
first social network.
To MySpace.
It predates MySpace.
Or MySpace? Okay. MySpace was the American answer to
that. Yeah. I remember because it was like the first social network, and you know, it was explicitly for Russians. Uh-huh. And it was very huge in South Brooklyn. I would say like it had a 90% market share of South Brooklyn. Like everyone in South Brooklyn was on it. And to the point that Americans started joining just to be a part of the fun. And they would get kicked off because they're not Russian. Like it was like a whole segregation, I remember.
It seems illegal.
Nowadays, yes, but this was the Wild West of the early
aughts, late
1990s. I remember
we spent a good amount of time at our college radio station on the computer just browsing Wimmit profiles together.
I believe, yes, we were catfishing.
Oh, really?
We were definitely doing some catfishing
in
the college radio station.
What would you pretend to be a woman? Or like, how are you catfishing people?
I remember you'd post about your radio show and try to promote it on there.
I don't know if I want to go into detail here.
I don't remember this. What did you do, Rob?
I believe there was a girl that Noah didn't like.
Okay.
And she was on there, and we created a profile of a boy.
Oh.
And, like, catfished her that, like, this boy liked her or something to, like, get it. Wow. I don't quite remember the details. So, like, get information out of her or something.
Oh,
something
no.
Like that.
Wow.
Something stupid like that.
You just admitted to a federal crime, Rob. Good job.
We had a lot of free time.
That, by the way, that graphic, that flyer for that festival is like, this is a little inside baseball, but we were just talking about someone we know that just did one of those graphics that was very, it reminded me of that, like very amateurish and out of 1997, which I can't say on the air.
So anyway, this was amazing. So we walk in and it's a hotel, you know, like you walk in and it's a
who did you go with?
I went with my friend Katie. She's the only other person other than Darren that knows Dieter Reb. I met her through I met her through the Nobodies. They were the drag queens that reviewed wrestling. Mm. I'm not sure if we discussed this on the air, but Katie, she would always post about Nietzsche. Like, she's the person in my life that closest resembles my taste in electronic music.
Okay.
Like, she likes all the obscure bands that I like. She's way more into, like, she's more knowledgeable about it than I am, easily. So I messaged her this. I was like, hey, I know you're like the only person I know that likes Nietzsche Reb. There's this really weird festival in Jersey. One day prices aren't that bad. It was $60 for a ticket for one day, which seems all right in today's marketplace. Like, I would pay 40. Like, I feel like $40 would be a fair price to see them. But because of the fact that they never play, I'm down to do the, you know, $25 upcharge or whatever it is.
Factor in bridge tolls, you're paying over $100 to see this band.
That's, well, it's in North Jersey, so I think just one way I paid a toll. And that was just because I just wanted to get home.
Other than the mental and emotional toll of having
the mental toll,
to
yeah.
Jersey.
There was no park, and it's North Jersey is, like, I never go up north to Jersey. You know, like, anytime I'm in Jersey, I'm taking the turnpike south towards Philly or Virginia, you know, I never go up that way. And it was just like, it's such a weird area. Like, the whole area is office buildings. There's no civilians anywhere. It was like totally dead. And then it's like, are we in the right place? And then boom, out of nowhere, this castle just shows up. And so we walk into the hotel lobby and it's immediately they take over the whole hotel. So
everyone
in the hotel
there basically was there.
Is goth. Yes. And like the people working the front desk, they all have this look like, these are all people are so nice. And like your first impression is you're walking through the hallways of this hotel and there's just the vendors. There was a guy vending on-demand poems. You can pay a guy to write you a poem to give you the time. It was just like buskers. It felt like goth Gilmore Girls, you know? Like,
oh, my God. Isn't that buskers. Basically what that Wednesday show was?
Yeah, okay, that's fair. And, like, I can't describe. I don't want to sound mean, but it felt like it was so funny to me. I felt like I was in a TV show because everyone looked like a goth NPC, a non-playable character, you know, like they all fit a different stereotype of what a goth dress like. Uh-huh. Like someone was all red, like the devil, just casually walking with like a water bottle. You know, I think it's the dichotomy of like the, you know, cyber goth, but with like completely mundane day-to-day activity,
like just
sitting
filling
eating a
up
sandwich.
A tub of ice.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you see people, they think that he's like red. He's got a goatee, green tail and stuff like that. He doesn't.
Dave Mustaine did have a kiosk where he educated people on these things.
Approach me and I'll tell you why your costume's wrong. Only $5.
Also, I will say the festival was very organized, very good with communication. they had the schedule up. The schedule was on time. I learned Nitzareb was playing at 11:30. This was already after I'd purchased my tickets.
Did they go on at the right time? Exactly.
They went on like 15 minutes late, which I consider a victory.
They went on at 11:45 in the evening.
Yeah, they didn't finish till 1. I think they actually went on a little later than 11:45. But
these are creatures of the night, Sid. Come on.
That's what I realized.
Their coffins at 11:45.
This is what I love about New York and their 11 p.m. curfews. I was like, oh man, I really wish. And it doesn't really make sense too, because for a festival like this, the headliner doesn't need to play that late at night. The headliner could play at like 9, and then you could have smaller acts after them for the real party animals to stay up, you know. But whatever, that's a different thing. Anyway, it was way too early. We got there at maybe 9, so we had plenty of time before the band we wanted to see went on. And
Rob is reaching for something.
Yeah,
I don't know if Bobka threw up.
Yeah,
or
I had a Dark Force Fest program.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to read some of the.
Give us a heads up.
Use your microphone voice, Rob. We can't.
It's that. I don't have it. All right. Maybe it's on the website.
Put it on the Discord when you get it.
Yeah.
There was this one room that had, it was a conference room, and they had a presentation of, it was like two people, a boy, a man and a woman. I'm trying to find the Warlock Family Wonder Show. It was. And it was a stunt show full of laughs, excitement, and adrenaline.
Get out of here.
Death-defying acts, cutting-edge nonsense, and dad jokes from the distant past. Anyway, these are the two corniest people doing insane stunts.
They hammer a nail through their ball sack? What do they do? What kind of stunts?
They had animal traps, and the guy would just put his hand through the animal traps.
Oh.
And that's it. Oh. That was the stunt.
But was it like sleight of hand, or was it like, look how much I can injure myself?
Yeah.
It was just, look how much I can injure myself, I think. Because
so there was like bleeding? You saw blood?
There was no bleeding.
How do you put your hand in an animal trap and not bleed?
That's a good question.
So maybe it really was like tricks, and it just was really
This
good.
Is them. This is them.
Oh, boy.
The woman was... This is actually, I feel like, good photo of this woman, because she was very attractive and very voluptuous.
Mesh. This guy, yeah. This guy looks like if Ethan Hawke gained 100 pounds to play Chris Farley.
This guy,
Vincent D'Onofrio, ate Ethan Hawke.
So we're watching this in a conference room. It's fluorescent lighting. Like the atmosphere couldn't be.
Do they have
less
like a PowerPoint?
Goth.
PowerPoint of bear traps snapping off. Yeah. Can I say also in this photo they're standing in front of like fucking C clamps and like shit, like fucking woodworking machinery everywhere. Yeah. Like it's just all around.
Yeah, like that's kind of their vibe.
Did she like pierce her nipples while doing the program? Anything?
At the end of the event, you could staple money to their body, and you could staple a $5 bill to her titty. If
so it's
want.
Real.
Was it like her titty through clothing, or she took her titty out?
She didn't take her titty out. No.
Oh, get the fuck out of here!
But I mean, like she had it exposed. You know, like you could still
was nipple out. Titty. Did you
there
see?
There was
nipple.
No nipple. No.
Yeah, no nipple. No $5 stapling. Get out of here.
No staple to a see-through bra. No.
No.
Okay. Also, I wanted to say that equipment. If you go back for a second, that was actually. Not that was not related to them. That was Nitzer Ebb's instruments for the music.
They were pressing vinyl LPs backstage.
But so they had a very. Steve
Muffler says he thinks he saw her on Plumper Pass.
Oh,
me too, Dusty. Me too.
Their vibe was so hilarious. The only way I could describe it is I felt like I was watching a Christopher Guest sketch, you know, I couldn't tell what was kayfabe and what was it kayfabe in the sense, like, there was one time he's like, oh, we're having fun, folks, right? Because that's what this is all about. It's just about having fun. It's not like we make any money doing this.
Oh.
And then, like, she said something like, well, this is how I make my rent. And he goes, like, that's how I make my rent, too. And it's like, are they having financial problems? Like, they kept making these jokes. Like, this is like, this is do or die for them.
Oh,
well.
If the staple goes in the wrong place, it might be
The thing is also, like, she was very attractive, as we've established here. And it got to a point when I was watching this where I'm like, what the hell is she doing with this guy? I almost was like, is this a grooming situation? Like, how did this guy land this girl?
He's her agent so for much... Bumper Pass video.
He's so much dorkier than her.
Ma'am, and you're in a hotel in Parsippany getting your boobs stapled. What happened? Are you okay?
Right.
Blink twice if you're okay.
Yeah, here you can see, like, See here, she's taking the trap. I didn't see her taking any traps. It was only him taking traps. I'd see he does, like, this. They do the silly stuff.
This is the sequel to the movie Kids 25 years later.
Oh, no. The two didn't die from STDs.
Right.
So this was the first thing that we saw. It was great. Already I felt like this was worth it. You know, like, this is totally nothing I would ever experience otherwise or put myself into. Quick Man Cometh writes this. Dude reminds me of Jean-Claude Van Damme's friend from Bloodsport, the guy from Revenge of the Nerds. I totally see it.
Next week, they're going to be in a Hackensack Motel 6, a stapling themselves with the donuts to themselves at the Continental Breakfast.
It looks like that's what he's got right now, like a fancy donut hanging from his face.
So, the band before Nietzsche, the artist before Nietzsche Reb, Leather Strip, was about to go on, and Katie had checked him out in anticipation of the show and was like, hey, you know, he's not bad if we want to go listen to him. So we walk in to the grand ballroom. This is the main stage, and we walk into the grand ballroom, and it's literally a hotel ballroom, again, a giant conference room with like a bar mitzvah floor platform, like a dance floor that's like a bar mitzvah. Like, clearly the ballroom doesn't have a dance floor and they brought in a dance floor. You know, they put in paneling, wood paneling,
okay,
to create a dance floor. And there's a riser and they're doing the sound check. And then the artist plays his first song. And, you know, this is an electronic artist. And I'm expecting big thumping bass. I'm expecting, like, my body to feel this. I start to look, and this is not something I typically notice, but I realize this is the jankiest sound system I've ever seen. Like, I think, Sid, the Temple had a better sound system than this fucking... the Temple was Sid and his friends would run shows at a basement synagogue.
And
yeah, and you guys would rent a PA, and I think the PA that you
eventually
rented
bought one, but for the first few years we rented, yes.
It was insane. Like, so it was just basically two giant speakers on each side of this shitty stage, this shitty bar mitzvah stage, and then just two monitors on the stage. That's it. For this giant ballroom that fits 5,000 people, 4,000 people, you know, like,
so
thousands of people.
Is this on the hotel or is this on the promoter?
This is on the promoter because the hotel has no, this room was not made for concerts.
Okay.
This room is just a blank room. They come in and they set up the stage, you know, so they could have sprung for a much better sound system, especially for electronic bands. Like,
they would have had to raise ticket prices, Rob.
That's fair. I was so offended. Like, the singer, the mic, which is provided by the venue, his vocals were blown out. They didn't even properly, like, mix his vocal. Like, I was blown away. But in spite of that, Leather Strip was very fun to watch live. Again, not something I would normally watch, but essentially, like, Katie made the joke that
Is Katie calling in at some point? I feel like she should join us to tell the story.
Katie basically said that like they're running the show using karaoke equipment, which is very accurate. Like that's what it was. It kind of felt like watching industrial karaoke. But this guy was really, really good. And you would think with a name like Leatherstrip, I would get the hint, but it didn't hit me until he took off his shirt and was wearing a harness and had very gay tattoos that, oh, this is a gay guy. This is a gay guy doing gay industrial.
Wait, I know that guy.
Yeah, oh, we've hung out in a dark corner once.
When he turned around, you recognized him.
Yeah. And so Leatherstrip was really fun. And then the main event was Nitzareb, and I lost my shit. I got so excited. Oh, and even right before Nitzareb, there was like a a little weird. Everyone in this hotel is such a character. This particular character that we ran into, we incurred right before the show started, reminded me of like late 90s SNL Will Ferrell.
Okay.
He was there with his younger sister and her friend. And when I say that, you probably have an image of like, oh, his younger sister and her friend are like 15, 16. Like, no, they were clearly like in their mid-20s at least.
Okay.
He was like their he walked into the we were in the middle of the front because I wanted to get close enough.
How did you know this was a brother and sister? Did you talk to them?
He was like cutting through, like escorting them and also ducking so that he wouldn't block anybody's view. Keep in mind, the artist hasn't even started yet. So what view is he?
He's like,
hey, and then he's like, sorry for blocking you guys. I'm just here with my sister and her friend. Yeah. I want to make sure they have a good time. Yeah, you know, I'm from Chicago, but.
So that was Chandler.
Maybe. And then my family, they just moved up here and I'm living with them for the next month until I move down to Key West a month from now.
Whole life story.
And,
way more
and you know,
than I need for this interview.
Exactly. This is all like what? And I just want to make sure my sister has a great time before I go. I'm just here for her. So I'll just duck down. You know, I'll try to duck down as much as I can until the show starts. It's like, you don't have to duck down. And also, you don't have to stand there. You know,
Rob is 7'2".
Yeah, like you can leave. Then like right, he keeps coming back and forth like he's doing security for them. And it's so weird because they're fine. They're not even like, what are you doing? And then right before they go out, he like brushes us aside like, excuse me. I just want to take a photo with my sister. Can you take a photo? And he like directs her, like take a selfie. No. Do it horizontal. Do it horizontal. Don't do it vertically. Do it horizontal. Yeah, that's great. Oh, great. Okay, you do have a great time. Okay.
This reminded me of when I would be on vacation with Jennifer and like she's, you know, her business is photography and, you know, photos and publication. And whenever we'd be somewhere and someone would, could you take a photo of us? She would, the interaction would take like 18 minutes because she was like, no, I like this
ideal photo to be taken.
Yeah. But then they, you know, they would sometimes they'd look annoyed, but then she'd give them the photo and they're like a shaft of light would come from the phone. Like, this is the best photo they've ever seen.
So Rob, did you take the best photo that this brother and sister had ever seen?
Oh, I didn't take the photo. They took a selfie. He was directing her to take the selfie.
Oh, I thought he was asking you to take the picture.
No.
Jeez. Did the sister seem annoyed by his antics or like fine with it?
She was indifferent. She was there to party though. Okay. like she was really into Nitzareb. I mean, everyone was, you can't not be into it.
How many people would you say were there for Nitzareb?
Like,
what was the capacity of this space?
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think. It's very hard for me, like, once we get in the thousands to, like, quantify. But I want to say definitely at least 1,000, maybe 2,000 people.
Okay.
In the ballroom. It was a very big ballroom. And we got, and I will say, with all my complaints about the sound, we got close enough, and Nitzareb specifically clearly had a sound person because their sound was a million times better than Leatherstrip. And Leatherstrip did have a few technical difficulties at the beginning. But even still, like, so it was so interesting with Nitzareb. It's a guy and a programmer. And the programmer is this girl, you know, like barely making any effort. But the guy, the singer, was so good. He was so animated. He was like a theater kid. And it like really drew you into the show. Like, here, let me play. Oh, I posted some stuff on my Instagram.
How old is Anitza Reb now?
Well, this guy seemed like he was in his 50s.
The original. They were around when I heard of them.
Yeah, they came out in the 90s, I think. So they've been around now for 30 years.
Maybe even
or late 80s they came out. Yeah, late 80s they came out.
Yeah.
I was losing my shit to this song.
It's like they're at the Sandman.
Yeah. He kind of looks like a more tolerable David Draymond now.
I was thinking the same thing, yes.
Look, I thought he was like a little bit of a... Sorry, Sid.
That's right.
Now you look like a chubby Phil Anselmo a little bit.
Okay.
Like his manner.
He's so good. He has such great stage presence.
A little bit of a
look boost at
them, as I mentioned Phil Anselmo.
Yeah.
Very good energy. I mean, the guy's got to be at least 50.
Yeah, yeah. He really brought it. Yeah, this is where I was like, oh, this is a pretty gay band. Like, this is a pretty queer band. Queer-coded band.
I have heard Anitza Reb, and I'll tell you how. I think I've mentioned this on the show before. That I had a good friend when I was in my teens who had a horrible home life, and my mother took him in for a few months to live with us because he was so fucked up he would have been homeless. Mm-hmm. And I was really close with him. And that guy loved like electronic industrial music. I heard of Nine Inch Nails through him.
Oh, wow.
And he would play Nine Inch Nails all the time. It was the first time I ever heard them. I loved them. And he plays other stuff that I wasn't that crazy about. But one of them was Anitza Reb. But I couldn't distinguish. He played electronic and dance music all the time. So I didn't know what was what. Mm-hmm. But for some reason I thought they were more on the industrial side. This is very dancey.
The vocals sounded fairly like dark and like more.
Yeah, the vocals are very dark. The themes are very dark. That's the thing. It toes the line between dance and industrial. These are the two danciest songs for sure. And I think in the live atmosphere, it's even dancier than the recorded. Thing, but let's get through the rest of this little beat because I just love the song. Yeah, this is from a later album when they had more jazz parts.
Yeah, I hear a little flute loop there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I see Draymond.
And this isn't even the original vocalist.
Oh, really?
The original vocalist. Like, this is me losing my shit right here. Just living it.
Like the Okada.
Here's just the guy in riot gear.
Oh, no.
It's actually a SWAT team guy. They had a disturbance. He came in. He just loved the music so much. Not what he was doing.
I forget what it said on there, but it was so funny. And then here's me and Katie and our friend, the 12-foot skeleton.
Looks like,
But definitely check out Anitza Reb if you were feeling those stuff. It was very good. You mention your friend, by the way, that he got. I think you mentioned him when we originally talked about Anitza Reb, because I think I
is there any chance he was at the show last night?
Oh, maybe.
What do you think, Darren?
Maybe.
It was such a tumultuous person that I'd be shocked if he's alive right
now. Aww.
And I don't say that. I don't wish that on him, but I'd say there's a low probability.
You haven't Googled?
He has a very, very, very common, the first and last name. It's kind of hard. I want to say what it is, obviously. His first name is Joey. I can say that.
So if you're going to Sick New World or Welcome to Rockville, get your ass see Anitza Reb. You will not regret it. They're very good.
Where are those?
Anitza Reb, Sick New World is in Vegas. Welcome to Rockville is in Daytona, Florida. And Nitzareb, if you're listening, please make some merch. You had one shirt and it was very boring.
There's not a web store.
I didn't
want to
buy it. No, they're very like, oh wait, now they have a shop. This is new. They updated their website.
You want to check, get me and Darren's opinions on what you should purchase? We could
sure
do this entire transaction live on air.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
They're ball gags or anything?
Yeah, no, they're, they're pretty boring.
Well, what's that eye chart one there? There was the one that had like a fake eye chart type of thing down there.
This was the bottom one. Look, their images don't even have proper crops.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Buy that one.
This is the one they were selling at the show. It looked very boring.
Maybe you just get that half a shirt and that's
yeah.
it.
I didn't realize this was also a Nitzareb shirt. It was like a V. Yeah, they have very boring merch. I would want like
eBay. Maybe there's like vintage stuff you could get that's more interesting.
Yeah.
Why don't you?
They had a logo. I mean, yeah, really, like the bootlegs look nicer than the actual shirts. But like, if you look like if they made this logo that they have on the projector a shirt, just a black and white shirt that says Nitzareb product, I would have bought that. Like this thing in the back.
Yeah, that's cool.
That looks really good. I don't know. Their merch game is very off, which is weird because, their iconography is very good.
You said they're from the UK, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's the? There's a lot of German stuff going. Are they German descended Brits? Or
so they're. That's what I'm always confused about, because it's like the branding is very German, very brutalist, and they have a lot of Soviet/communist. Iconography in their artwork, but I can't find out any more info about it because, like I said, there's really not that much out about them. So
did they do a meet and greet after the show? You could have chatted with them.
No, I should have talked to him. Yeah,
I was on Sunset in 1982 and I met Nitzareb. Wonderful. I love the guy's shiny bald head. It was very sexy. He was a doll.
Here you could. This is the original lead singer of the band, who, and you could see the hammer, the star. You
he
see,
definitely
like, the more,
looks older. But this, so what happened to him? Because this says 2023 on it.
Yeah. So what happened? So the guy that was singing is typically one of the synthesizer programmers.
Okay.
And the singer has decided that he no longer can be on the road because he has substance abuse issues. And anytime he's on the road, it's very hard for him to abstain.
Parsippany brings out the worst in him.
Well, look, you're in the middle of nowhere in a hotel full of your fans. A lot of them probably have drugs. It's very easy to get caught up in it.
Were you offered any illicit materials?
I wasn't actually. No, I was not. But I brought my own. I brought my own pot.
But that's not illicit anymore.
That's true.
Nobody gave you any Parsippany purple or anything. Like
that. Oh, I'm sorry. I actually had it wrong. It wasn't even. He didn't leave the tour because of rehab or anything. He left because he, even though he had stopped drinking, he had been diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver, and so. He cannot be on tour just because he needs to, you know, be by a medical facility.
God damn.
So that shows how hard he partied.
And are his vocals better, worse, same as this, the guy that you
saw? So I looked up the live footage and I think I like this new guy more.
Oh, okay.
Like he's the original singer. His name is Douglas.
Who are you?
Douglas McCarthy. I don't think he puts as much like pizzazz.
That's because he's fucking dying.
Yeah, this guy's
his
liver is broken.
That's fair.
You try to belt one out with fucking cirrhosis eating you away at you, Rob. How dare you?
That's fair.
I have cirrhosis contemporaneously.
You nothing.
This is the cirrhosis guy.
This is the original.
Yeah.
Sucker.
Oh, you.
This is how I want to see that. That. Oh, the other thing is like the light show was like the most basic ass bar mitzvah light show. And for something like this where there's no band, the light show is very important. Like they really skimped out on all the presentation here.
Well, maybe the Parsippany power grid couldn't handle all of the presentation. That'd have been a blackout in all of Jersey. Oh, sorry. This is Oslo. This is the nice one, right? This is what we're looking at, like how it should be.
Yeah, this is the full presentation. Okay. So I guess he does backing vocal. I didn't realize he does backing, but... But look at how differently they move.
Yeah. Well, cirrhosis is a bitch.
It's like Right Said Fred and Elvis Costello sharing the
stage. Do you think the Right Said Fred guy, like, feels intimidated? Like, he feels a pressure to, like, be a little less demonstrative when he's next to this guy?
Probably just, he's next to this guy, and then now that he's out on his own, he could really let it out.
He can shine.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta cirrhosis this down a little.
I don't wanna upstage this guy while his fucking liver is falling out of his body onto the floor.
Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see. Oh. They were doing a cover.
Anywho. Great stuff. If you find yourself at Parsippany next April.
Oh my God. So this is a yearly thing? This is, they've done this previously?
Yeah.
How many years? Do you know?
Let's see.
Since 1893.
Since that guy's liver was perfectly functioning.
When that castle was new. They did the opening there.
How far is this castle from the restaurant that Mike Francesa and Bill Parcells did the commercial for?
You got to have the veal.
That was also in Jersey, right?
Yeah. I mean, Parsippany is such a Mike Francesa caller town, you know.
Yes. And Northern Jersey, which is where the Giants played. So it must be very close by.
Yeah. I remember when we had our training camp there one year, yeah, because – because Hackensack was flooded.
Could you imagine plopping Mike Francesa into a hotel that's having a goth convention?
Oh, and then there's a guy dressed in riot gear. I mean, riot gear. You gonna wear riot gear? I mean, come on. It's an insult to our brave men in uniform. Back after this,
he's on the phone with Mons the whole time, just demanding an explanation for what he's seeing. What's this nitzer reb?
What's a nitzer? What? How do you nitz? Someone explain this to me.
Oh boy!
I've seen a lot of things in Parsippany, but there's a new one. Back after this.
So I want to read some of the events here. We have creepy coloring book hour.
How'd that become a thing that adults do coloring books now? That's been around a while now, I feel like.
Yeah.
10 years.
And, it's an art activity for all ages. Join us in a relaxing 1 hour coloring book session and receive an official Vampire Freaks coloring book featuring original Vampire Freaks artwork. Oh. Separate ticket required.
Oh, all ages. It. Did someone bring like a 6 year old to this?
Yeah, I didn't see any children here. I guess I saw some like 18-year-olds, maybe.
How much is the separate ticket for the coloring book session?
And it was like $12 because you have to buy the coloring book.
So it's $12 for the coloring book, and that's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
Dark Forest Drag Show Q&A. Get to know the Dark Forest Fest drag queen performers in this no holds barred Q&A session.
No holds barred at all.
Wait a minute. And that was last night?
This would have been today. I would have absolutely.
I was going to say, it's the fucking season finale of RuPaul's Drag Race. What kind of self-respecting drag performer is busy at a fucking Q&A at a goth festival and not watching the show?
Ever heard of a DVR, Sid?
There's spoilers. Rob had the finale spoiled while he was doing this goddamn.
I did.
fast.
I'm 71. I don't know how to fast forward or rewind. I'm still on Blockbuster tapes.
Were there any familiar drag queens on this panel, Rob?
No, I didn't see any familiar. Well, that's the thing. It's like it's very interesting seeing all the different freaks, so to speak. There were a lot, or I wouldn't say a lot, but a significant amount, more than you would expect, of cross-dressers at this event, which was interesting.
Cross-dressing meaning what? It's not drag because it's not showy, but they're just... Like, what would you say by cross-dressing?
I would say you're not trying to convince anybody.
I see.
You know, like...
So couldn't that just be a masculine presenting trans person then instead of
it could be. It could be, yes. It could also be that. But I feel like there's a distinction. Like you could tell. Just based on but yeah, you're right. I could
Rob,
I'm
interested in what you expect.
To me it looked like they were a cross dresser. You know, like I'm no expert, but it didn't seem like they were. But in general, it was a very, very queer friendly community.
That's good.
In fact, one of the panels is a EPOC community panel, Eclectic People of Color, EPOC. Okay.
Does that mean like black nerds and stuff like that, or is it like LGBT themed?
No, I think people of color. Yeah, no, I think it's black and brown people because it's a developing community
but
for
the black
guy.
How?
Eclectic meaning they're into like anime and Star Wars and not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So they're not fitting the stereotype of black people is what I took out of that.
Yeah, that's how I took it. Yeah, so it says, are developing a community for the vanguard creative ideas of melanated peoples to be welcomed, realized, explored, and promoted. Many people, no matter their ethnicity, do not know the history of eclectic arts, culture, and the legacies they are charged with upholding. So, and then
Rob, what legacy have you been charged with upholding, Rob? Can you speak to that?
Just... For the fags, I'm.
What?
I have to uphold the fag legacy. That's right. Drop it, F bombs. I can say it.
Title? No. Ramona shows
also
up immediately once you start dropping the slurs. Look at that.
It's okay. It's a term of endearment when we use it. We're taking it back. There's also a Goths of Color panel. In this panel, we celebrate and discuss the role of people of color in the goth community. Join us for an open dialogue as our panelists discuss their experiences on how race intersects with alternate subcultures and the impact that people of color had on the goth community.
Can I just make an interjection here? I did not know until long after that goth exploded in the United States that it was... unusual for black people to be goth because there's so many in New York City, in the 90s. Mm. It was I feel like there were more black people in that community than in other communities dominated by white people. I think they were more represented. There were so many really attractive goth girls my age that were black back then. And then I found out late years later when the internet came out, they're, mm-hmm. That was an unusual thing, and black people felt excluded from that community. Elsewhere, I think it was a New York thing. Hmm. You could
get that
right, Sid. I guess Rob, you were old enough, also. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Absolutely. No, there's a lot of so some other. Let's see. What are some more fun panels
that you did?
Industrial dance class.
Oh,
well, a lot of these are during the. There weren't that many on Friday. Step into the rhythm of the night. Learn and explore cutting edge moves.
Yes, the rhythm of the night.
Beats of industrial dance. Lace up your boots. Adorn yourself in riveted flair. Join us for a high energy workshop.
That reminded me of something that's on YouTube that's very short. It's a minute that I want to play, but this is hilarious. But I'll cue it up and we can keep talking.
Yeah, send me the live bats lecture.
What?
New Jersey's Batman is bringing his family-friendly live bat exhibit back to Dark Force Fest. Joseph DeAngeli's Bat Cave is the only facility specializing in and catering on bats and bat conversation in the New York, New Jersey area.
Bat Conversation.
This is a good title for a panel. Make It So, a cosplay and maker panel. Like So, S-E-W.
Oh, okay.
How do you know that name? That's a Bat Conversation.
Unts. Twitch DJ panel. Ever wanted to connect IRL with a Twitch DJ? Find out with the 60-minute panel. Paint a wooden coffin box. Now there's an activity.
Gene Simmons immediately sued them.
Yes, I own the rights to all uses of coffins in the world.
I sent you that thing, by the way.
Yeah, I got
a
it.
Minute. It's a minute 20. I want no context necessary. I'm not going to tell you anything. And also, it's all in Spanish, but you don't need to know Spanish at all. And oh, it's captioned anyway.
Hello, buenas.
Sí, buena, Brea.
Hey, ¿quién anda ahí?
Arturo Merán.
Arturo, ¿de dónde, brother?
Estamos aquí de Salcedo.
Ah, de Salcedo. Saludos para toda mi gente de Salcedo, la gente buena del Cibao. Brother, cuéntamelo todo. Saluda a tu gente.
No, no, yo lo que quiero pedir, a ver si tú me pones una canción.
Claro que sí, mi brother, la que tú digas.
Sí, yo quiero que tú me pongas la canción que dice, ¿esos son Reebok o son Nike?
¿Esos son Reebok o son Nike?
Sí, sí.
Pero, ¿cómo se llama? ¿Cómo se llama?
¿Son Reebok o son Nike?
So, for audio listeners, this is someone calling into a radio station asking a DJ to play a song with the lyrics, are those Reebok or Nike?
A ver, compláceme, que me gusta mucho esa canción.
Really like this song.
Está muy pegada esa canción.
Esos son ribos, son Nike. ¿Será esta, brother? ¿Será esta? This is the rhythm of the night. Cuídate, mi hermano.
This is real?
I don't know if they might have set it up, but this is really on the radio.
Is this the Reebok or Nike?
Oh, yeah.
That's also Reebok, also Nike. I guess it makes more sense in Spanish, where it sounds more similar in Spanish than it was.
Reebok, also Nike.
So, and the answer, they are Nikes. Yeah. So Nike. Oh, yeah.
Props to that DJ for figuring that out so quick.
Right?
It's really impressive.
Never got that.
Now I have Nietzsche rep stuck in my head. Join in the chant! Join in the chant!
Yeah.
Join in the chant.
Or the chant.
Yeah, it's the chant. Like
well, that's
John.
How we say it. That's the British accent. I can't help it.
Come to daddy. You better watch out. You might get Nitzer canceled.
Oh, no. It's a Lost Prophets cover.
Nitzer, oh, you're ever right out of your YouTube account.
What were you guys up to this week? That's what that was the highlight of my week.
It was the last week of before spring break for me, so I was like swamped with work and also outside school work. So I'm hanging on by a thread right now. But now I'm on spring break, so I get to relax a little bit. But I have a lot of work to do.
I have no work to do.
Very little. I have very little social life right now.
Oh, same. But for me, it's by choice.
By choice, yeah.
It's all going to pay off. Doing
sleepy
stuff I should have done in my 20s and 30s.
Mm.
Yeah, I got home pretty late last night. I got home
How late?
3.
Damn.
3.
Do you want the second half of the episode to just be you napping?
I wouldn't mind that accent.
Wait, 3 p.m.? It is Rob we're talking about.
3 a.m., I got.
Wow.
And I still woke up basically like a half hour later than I typically wake up.
God damn.
My body was just like, it's time. It's time. You got to walk your dog.
How much do you usually sleep?
Between 5 and 7 hours, I would say.
Oh, okay.
On a bad day, 5 hours. On a good day, 7 or 8. Yeah.
I never sleep 7 or 8 hours unless I'm sick. My body's trying to make up something that it needs to make up. But normal day, I have no constraints. I don't have to wake up, go to work, go to school, do anything. I go to sleep. I wake up in almost exactly 6 hours, give or take 10 minutes. And I feel refreshed. And I ask my doctor because I'm like, make sure that's normal. You know, he's like, well, you wake up, you feel okay, right? I said, yeah. I said, don't worry about it. That's some people just sleep 6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I could feel refreshed on 6 hours.
Refreshed.
Refreshed as well.
Sure. Yes. Well, that takes longer than 6 hours.
That's your favorite Nitzareb album.
Do the chant. Refleshed.
That's what happens when you've used your fleshlight so much that the skin layer has worn off and then you have to send it back to get.
Yeah. No, it's one of those used ones that they fancy up to make like new, like refurbished. But
yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Refleshed. Yeah.
You've used it so much that the skin is worn off. So you send it in and they reflesh it.
Strangely, it's the same guy that resoles your shoes. They just do it in the shoe shop. The cobbler.
It's a 96-year-old Orthodox Jewish man. working on sweating over fleshlights in his shop.
Oh, yeah, another reverse dildo I get? What is this? It's also Reebok, also nice.
Very good. Yeah, like I feel like those type of songs are really making a comeback. Like the,
you mean
early '90s kind of like freestyle,
like in the realm of pop music on the radio, like type of thing, Z100 or something else.
Kind of, yeah. Like I feel like even pop star, like last year, Beyonce, her big, I guess it was 2 years ago now, "Break My Soul." It was just a sample of one of those 90s songs. I forget what it was.
I don't know. Hold on. Well, Baby Got Back. A lot. Everything I hear on the radio when I happen to.
Oh, Baby Got Back, like, was Nicki Minaj. She.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Robin S. Show Me Love. That's what it is.
Oh, Beyonce did that? I didn't even know.
Oh, yeah. Like every song was a sample of that. Yeah.
Everything seems to be like either covers or samples of. You know, 90s songs right now. I mean, or even eight, like it was that, like that Rocket Man kind of Elton John.
Oh, yeah, with Britney,
in that cover of himself.
Yeah. But I'm all right with it. More freestyle. We need more freestyle in the world.
No, just an observation. That was not positive or negative.
Mm-hmm. Rob, on your ride home last night, did you listen to the Taylor Swift double album?
No.
Right.
I don't like Taylor Swift. I shouldn't say that to her. I don't like Taylor Swift.
There may be a mob outside your house within seconds.
I think she's very basic.
The SWAT team from the Nitzareb show is
going to
Like I love Beyonce. Like I think she is a wonderful artist, but I feel like I just don't get it with Taylor Swift. I don't understand why her basic bitchiness is so popular.
I feel like I've enjoyed more Taylor Swift songs than Beyonce songs in my life that I have heard, but both of them are sort of like a thing where I listen to it and I'm like, I understand that this is like the best possible production value and extremely talented people are behind all of it, but it just does nothing for me. It doesn't move me. It's not bad, but I'm left like with no real emotional response to it whatsoever. It's just like, yes, this is a great version of pop music that doesn't do anything for me.
I think both of them in different ways are very calculatedly crafted to
for sure
sell. No, I mean that applies to a lot of people, but I think they're more it seems like more consciously done. Like, you know, you can have all through the 70s, 80s and 90s, you would have artists that obviously there's Metallica just trying to make money with the Black album, but I feel like that kind
of, I would argue that Taylor Swift is like on another level of that. I think with Beyonce there is an artistic element to it, where she finds herself as an artist and she's, you know, doing art or whatever, and then the business people take over and like market the art. With Taylor Swift, I don't think there's that artist aspect. It's just, let's make money. And for with, I look, I say, you know, whatever, but I just think like for this last album, they had like 40 different versions of it in different stores. Like the Target vinyl exclusive has a specific bonus track. And then the Walmart vinyl has another bonus track. So there's like 10 different versions of the album that, you know, all these hardcore Swifties are going to buy and not even like really listen, like just to give her more money. And then after she had already announced these special editions with these bonus tracks that were only available on these certain copies, the day the album came out, she revealed that she's actually releasing a second album in addition to it, which included all of those bonus tracks she made people pay for.
Well, she didn't make them pay for it.
I mean, she didn't make them, but like, that seems like you're kind of, it seems like a shady business practice.
But also, like, most of these people don't have record players, so why are they buying vinyl in the first place? Just fucking listen to whatever's on Spotify. It's fine. They're dumb for doing that in the first place and clearly have disposable income to waste on it. So, whatever. Certainly.
I don't feel bad for them.
One less bottle of white wine.
But what's Phil Anselmo going to drink? No.
He has his own vineyard.
Is it called Robert Vineyards? Robert Vineyards.
That could be your vineyard.
I've been getting into wine lately. I can get. I need to explore white wine more. I haven't really gotten. I've been too crazy about it. It just tastes like bitter grape juice to me. But red wine, I'm into.
I have nothing to contribute in terms of wine.
No other winos on the show?
No. Never got into it. Darren, no wine. No wine takes.
I hate wine. I didn't even like the smell of wine near me.
Yeah. It seems like it should be good, but then I taste it and it's not good.
Well, much like with beer, you got to find the right flavor. You got to find the one that works for you.
It's not important enough to me to keep exploring. It's fine.
That's fair.
I just don't like, also, I don't like alcohol, period. Like,
yeah.
I don't any of that stuff. I used to like getting buzzed, you know, but I never liked the taste.
Yeah.
I've never had a wine that I didn't, like, wasn't disgusted by. Like, I've had a sip here and there, you know.
You got to drink it enough that that wears off, but it's just not worth it.
It's just like shrimp and stuff. Like, I've told you guys over the years, I'm not like a close-minded jerk off. Like, I'll never eat shrimp. Fuck you. Like, I've tried it periodically, at least twice a year, maybe in my prime of my life. You know, I'll be like, I really want to like this. Everyone's enjoying it. Like, let me just have some shrimp and I'll try it. I'd almost throw up. It was like, it wasn't not wanting to eat it.
You're just not a seafood person. That's fine. Yes,
exactly. I give almost anything a fair shake. Certain things I would not even think to eat, but
as I've aged, I've gotten more and more into seafood where I used to not eat.
Agreed.
Like shrimp was the only seafood I used to eat. And mm-hmm. then I've sort of branched out more and more and more.
Yeah.
Oysters and the salmons and the.
Yeah. Like, especially salmon. I always ate salmon. Salmon was like, oysters, clams. I'm still,
I'm neutral on clams.
Yeah, it's sometimes I could be into it, but sometimes it's a little too much.
But I never thought I'd be into oysters, and I fucking love that shit.
I love oysters. Yeah, oysters are great. Mussels, I love.
Rob's so into seafood, he swims in the Brighton Beach ocean and just eats fish out of the water.
Oh, man. That's like contaminated jellyfish.
That's jellyfish, the gross. That's one thing I will not eat. We went to a restaurant, my ex-wife and I, once. And, you know, Sid, well, I guess you both know, like around 8th Avenue in Brooklyn, there's all these Chinese catering halls. Mm-hmm. And we just said,
that Seafood Palace, that one?
It wasn't that one. It was Ocean something. I can't remember. But we went in there, and it was a Chinese wedding going on, I think. But they still seated us in another, remote location. And they had all this weird crap on the menu, like
lamb face salad and like, you know, she orders a
That's
lamb.
That's what they used to pick on Rob. They used to call him that in high school.
Son of a lamb face salad.
Lamb face salad. So it actually delineated what was in this salad. It was like lamb cheek, lamb eyeball.
Oh, see, tongue. Cheek is supposed to be good. Eyeball, I can't do.
Everything.
Can't
it was all of the lamb's face. And the guy actually came over. She orders it. And the guy goes, oh, sorry, we don't have eyeball today. They only had like two of the thing. They had the lamb cheek. And they had one other thing. He's like, I can give you that. But we don't have. She's like, I don't want that. She ordered jellyfish instead. She had to have something disgusting.
Yeah, I tried jellyfish once. I was not into it.
What's it like? I've never had it. I've never been offered it.
It tastes exactly how you would assume.
I don't know what I even think it would taste like.
Like rubbery gelatin. Like it tastes like kind of like gum that you can break down. Essentially,
tastes like what it would probably.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
I feel like Arrested Development. You eat that, and like I don't know what I expected. Fucking jelly.
Is there a sauce with the jellyfish? Do you get a side sauce?
Any jelly, mint jelly with the jellyfish?
No.
I don't recall.
Maybe like a dumpling sauce of some sort to dip it in?
Something that won't taste like disgusting jellyfish?
Yeah.
Just eat something else, maybe? Yeah. The fuck? Who looks at that in the ocean and thinks, I got to eat this?
I mean, it's, you know, when there's not a ton of options. You eat whatever living thing you can kill.
That's true. But, like, we have options. Like, who needs to eat that? Those goth people that staple shit to their face would eat that.
Staple a jellyfish to her titty.
I'd rather watch them eat a fucking jellyfish than staple each other.
Maybe listen, if they're all complaining about how little money they make, maybe they'd appreciate that if people just brought weird food for them to eat during their show. They're probably hungry.
Hey, Frank from Boss Ebony on the air. Yeah, Mike, I just saw a woman stapling a jellyfish to a fucking tit. What's going on with that? Oh, what do you think of the Giants?
Another clown call. You wait an hour and a half on here to talk about a jellyfish being stapled to a titty. Come on. Didn't Francesa say something stupid this week? Well, what else is new? But
yeah, something came across the Twitter. Can't remember right now. Something funny.
I remember that we covered the eclipse anti-science stuff last week.
I seem to remember, unless my memory's failing me, that there was another thing. I mean, there's always something. This one seems slightly viral.
Deuterino in the chat says he appreciates us. Is everything okay, Deuterino? That seems like a random non sequitur, unless you're like, are you planning to kill yourself and you're saying your goodbyes? What's going on? Why are you just randomly telling us you appreciate us? I mean, we appreciate you too, but I'm just worried. I want to make sure everything's okay.
Jeez. This guy says a nice thing like that. Your mind goes right to suicide.
That's the kind of person I am. I just, I can't take compliments. I always think there's something else behind it.
Okay. People love us, man.
He says that's his entrance. I don't know what that means, but all right.
Entrance music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I just noticed you're wearing your Andrew WK.
Yeah. That we got for calling him out on being a bad venue host.
Nice guy.
That place doesn't still exist, right, Rob?
No. Nope.
Santos?
It's long gone.
We were right, I guess.
It was a good venue.
It was fine.
Vindicated.
Yeah.
No more venues in Manhattan now. All the venues are in Williamsburg.
Where was that house?
Like off Canal Street?
Yeah.
Okay. Just there.
Should I? I guess I haven't even. I haven't taken a hit yet, you guys.
You haven't? You've had that bong sitting there this whole time? You just.
I know.
Is it properly prepped?
Uh-oh.
It's ready to be hit.
Watch him pack it.
Here's my bowl.
Deuterino is asking what the temple status is. I believe that building was torn down and now it's like condos and like a doctor's office on the ground floor. I think I told the story of a number of years ago, like maybe 5-6 years ago, my mom had to get some medical imaging done. and it was in the fucking ground floor of the building that used to be the temple. I had to take her. It was so fucking weird. I'm like standing there like, oh, this is where I used to like take money from 14-year-olds to go see pop punk bands. And now my mom's getting her chest x-rayed here. Wow. All right. Interesting.
While Rob's packing that bowl, I was doing officiating a high school game the other day, and I'm gonna mute.
No, we need this. Come on, it's an audio medium, Rob.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. I'm good.
He's faking. I was in a public park, and so like. Sometimes the kids from the school come to watch, and there's like a fucking like 13 or 14 year old kid rolling a blunt like right behind home plate on the other side of the fence, and I can't do anything. It's a public park. Like, yeah, that's not my job to tell him anything. But the whole game, the guy's just he's just like a kid standing there rolling.
That is illegal. Like that is still illegal.
But I mean, the fact that he had the balls to just do it out there is crazy.
I totally know what you mean, Darren. I've seen this in my neighborhood as well. I live in a nicer neighborhood. You know, I'm not bragging, but like these kids were same exact thing. Like it's 3:30. They just get out of school. Just in the middle of the street. They're like rolling something. And like go around the corner. Show a little discretion.
Do you
kids today?
Maybe honestly, it's so permissive now. Maybe they don't know that you have to be 18 to do it.
That's what I think. Yeah. Well, I think they know you have to be. I'm pretty sure they can't buy it.
It's illegal to smoke around kids. But what if you yourself are a kid smoking? Like, do they arrest you for smoking around yourself?
I think like, the cops. Well, also probably depends whether you're black or white. But also, well,
you can't drink if you're underage.
You can get
illegal to drink underage. Yeah, it's just as illegal to smoke.
No, but I'm just saying it's also if you're of age, but you're around kids, you can't smoke.
Right.
Weed.
So
what?
I believe. I think I have heard that. Like in public, you can't like do it like by a school or whatever.
You can smoke anywhere. You can smoke cigarettes. That's the rule.
Are you sure there's no?
Yeah.
Restriction on being around minors. I could have sworn I heard that on the news literally this morning.
Let me see.
And I thought, like, well, what if you yourself are a minor? So double up on the fine or the penalty.
All I know is I get arrested if you do it.
Yeah.
We could share up to 3 ounces of cannabis flower.
With the kids?
with anyone over you cannot give or sell any amount of cannabis to people younger than 21. But yeah, well, alcohol is 21 too. Yeah, so no, it doesn't say anything about kids. Oh, here we go. Where is cannabis smoking or vaping not allowed in New York? Smoking or vaping cannabis is not permitted in these locations. Public areas of buildings, parks, beaches, and boardwalks, golf courses, inside and on the grounds of sports stadiums, pedestrian plazas, public gardens, restaurants, bars, cars, and other motor vehicles, even while parked. Oh, I didn't know while parked.
Uh-oh, Rob.
I didn't know that. I learned something new. In schools, you're not allowed to smoke. I guess you can't smoke in a school, but you can't smoke cigarettes in a school. So it's the same. That's the same thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Dorito. 3 ounces, not 3 grams. my apologies. That's a big difference.
I'll say.
That's it. So today's 4:20. And as I've mentioned on the show before, 4:20 is a pretty irrelevant holiday for me. As a everyday 420-er, as an everyday pod, every day is 420 for Rabba. So this day holds minimal significance to me. Like I'm not planning on smoking any more or less than I would any other day. The only way things are different this year is I now, since it's legal in New York, I shop at dispensaries. Dispensaries have my email address. Dispensaries have sales. I'm getting all of this, like it's weed Black Friday. It's weed Christmas here. And like, and it's the first time that I have like option paralysis, because there's so many options for weed sales. I don't know where to go. So it's very tough.
Didn't you just go wherever is cheapest?
Well, it's not just cheapest. It's who has the quality bud. And with the legal dispensaries, I have to be picky about how much I get, because I'm only allowed six ounces over the course of 2 months. So
how does that work?
That's a lot. You're tracked. They track how much you buy.
Really?
Yeah, so you can't like traffic the weed.
Okay.
Right. So they don't want you selling it.
Is that do you think that's a fair amount? Is that about how much you would need for a month, or?
That is absolutely a fair amount, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
might be someone who's feeding it.
Well, but you can buy recreational all you want. This is just, you're only allowed 6 ounces of medical rolling over 2 months. So like if you buy 4 ounces in the first month and 2 ounces in the second month, you know, you won't be able, like, in the third month, you'll only be able to buy 4 ounces. And then the following month, you'll be able to, like, so it's kind of like that. Within 60 days, you can only have 6 ounces of purchases of just flower. And also, the other thing, to your point, you can buy vapes, edibles. Those don't count to the limit.
Oh, interesting.
It's only for the flower. I think just because, to Darren's point, this is how they curb redistribution, because it is significantly cheaper. It's like sometimes I feel like I'm robbing the place. Like I'll get 2 ounces for $200, which is like insane to me.
So that's, I thought the whole thing was like once it was legal it was going to be way more expensive.
No, because there's more supply to cover the demand, so everyone's competing.
There's also taxes and all that stuff.
I don't know. The taxes, I agree with you. Like, I thought taxes would make it prohibitive because that's kind of what it's like in L.A. But it doesn't seem to be the case here. I don't know.
Interesting.
$100 for an ounce is pretty much what it cost, like, when I was smoking weed when I was a kid.
I come from, like, $300 ounces. So, the base is, before the sales, it's $200 for an ounce, which I think still is a great deal. And then when they have like promos and they have like a loyalty program, like a reward point, they have all this bullshit. You really can get the prices down. So it's very exciting. And to the point that like the illegal drug dealers that I've used, they have had to lower their prices now too.
Wow.
To compete.
But why do you still use illegal drug dealers?
For shrooms.
Have they lowered their shroom prices as well?
They're about the same. Shroom prices are about the same because the market is hasn't been cornered yet.
Rob, buzz me in. I got your shrooms. Get to Sunset Boulevard.
I've been getting into these shroom chocolates. They've been very nice. Because it's insane too, because the packaging looks like a Mario Brothers.
Jesus Christ.
Packaging? Yeah. Like, I don't know how they get away with this.
Are you, like, micro-dosing, or are you doing this in, like, full-on tripping?
No. Micro-dosing. Because it's like a chocolate bar, and it's, you know how, like, the Hershey's bars are in, like, there's, like, little cubes? So it's split up into 9 cubes, and the whole bar is one portion of shroom. So I'll just have like one piece. So like, you know, a ninth of a portion.
Okay. And what does it do for you?
It's like a little lift, I would say. You feel like you're floating off the couch.
Okay.
But literally. And it's very short. It's only like 20 minutes. And I took like 3 pieces during a Meshuga show. And that was,
say that 5 times fast.
Meshuga show.
He messed it up.
Messed it up on the fourth one though.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
He did it.
And Sugar Show is what they do on St. Patrick's Day. It's Meshuggah doing Dropkick Murphys covers.
It was pretty intense to be in a mosh. Not like it was great. I wasn't overwhelmed, but it felt crazy to
say mosh Meshuggah Show.
Feel that elevated in a Meshuggah mosh pit.
Say Meshuggah Shakshuka.
Meshuggah Shakshuka. Meshuggah Shakshuka. Meshuggah Shakshuka. Meshuggah Shakshuka. Meshuggah Shakshuka. Meshuggah Shakshuka. Meshuggah Shakshuka. Meshuggah Shakshuka.
That's that fucking serious training.
That sounds like a System of a Down lyric.
Yeah.
Meshuggah Shakshuka?
These are the bars, and I'm pretty sure they've updated the graphics, because I've vividly remember there was a Mario on one of these, but don't want to show the website, but
I mean, it's clearly labeled psilocybin, so what kid would open that? No, everyone knows what that is.
And also, what chocolate bar costs, you know, $40 for one bar?
Well, if the parent leaves it in the living room or something.
Oh, yes. Well, don't leave it in the living room. But
the idea is you can't account for what people do, so you don't want to really brand it as something it should go into.
I feel like we're just scratching the surface with psilocybin. I feel like in terms of microdosing it and much like just doing it little bit could be
what's going to
very
happen?
Positive mood, positive thing on your mood.
It's going to save the world.
Maybe I think it would make it's a natural alternative to pharmaceuticals for antidepressant. It's like a natural antidepressant.
Rob, do you want to go get some psilocybin and put it into Netanyahu's drink?
Oh my God.
Stop blowing up.
Maybe if I put it in his drink, a little bit in Hamas's drink.
Hamas.
A little bit in Bilkin's drink. They could all get together and chill.
Lincoln?
Blinken.
Blinken. Blinken.
You say his name.
Blinken. What is it?
Blinken.
Blinken.
Antony Blinken.
Yeah.
Antonio Blinken. I thought you'll suck this dick.
Oh. Wow.
Maybe that'll cure him of his genocide.
Maybe.
Desires.
All right. Let's talk about our Spotify playlist, huh? How about that, kids?
Yeah,
sure.
Every week we each pick a song. We throw it on a playlist. You can listen to it on Spotify. It's the RAPL Livecast Music Break. You can search for it. We have over 4.5 days of music now at this point, right? Like, let's be honest. Oh, we have 44
Dusty Rhodes
hours,
Muffler asks
a
pertinent
days.
Question. What does Papa Rabba think about the Israel Hamas Iran situation?
My dad is on the side of Israel. No, I'll say that.
Shocking.
So, yeah.
So is my mom, so don't feel too bad.
My mom surprised me because she's very progressive in general, but she's just got the Israel blind spot, you know. And we were just in a car one day, and I mentioned something about what Israel's doing, and she was like, yeah, you know, I think that it's wrong. So I couldn't believe that even for her, a staunch Israel supporter, she was like,
they did say, I try not to talk to my parents about it because I just end up stressing out and feeling depressed at what a terrible worldview they have. But they really bullied me into it. They like kept, you know, prying me to talk about it. And I did get them to agree that it's so silly, like they agree that the famine is wrong.
Like progress.
Yeah, like at least honestly, like I was in a way impressed that at least they could see that is cruel, you know, like they could call out the cruelty, even the cruelty of their side, so to speak, you know, like it's not just ultimatism. So that did make me feel really good at least. And I don't know. But anyway, so RIP a Livecast Music Break. My pick this week is the artist that opened for Nitzarab, Leatherstrip. I really got into this guy. Like, it was really cool to, you know, see an artist that you don't know anything about and either, you know, decide just based on what you're experiencing in the moment. And I was really feeling it, despite the terrible mix. He was owning the moment. He was being
don't say
a
such
diva.
Horrible things about Dropkick Murphys.
He was no, he was
terrible
great.
Mix.
I see. He was really good, and I would love to see him at the next Pride Parade or Queer Liberation.
Where is
March.
He from? Do you know? Is it a local artist or?
No, I think he was also British. He had an okay. accent. But the song is "Strap Me Down," and from the album "Music for Bondage Clubs," which. You know, I guess now I see why I liked it. It sounds like music I hear when I go to like gay clubs. So, yeah, definitely into leather strip, into this vibe. He's from Denmark.
Okay.
Rob, are there gay clubs that close at 8 o'clock p.m.? I didn't know that.
Truthfully, I haven't been to one in a while because they open at 10 p.m. But the party, like if you go at 10 p.m., there's going to be like five people there. It's like showing up at 4 p.m.
Just sitting around eating burritos.
Literally. Like, it's nothing. There's nothing going on. So the party only starts at midnight. And it's, you know, 12. And then like 2 p.m. is when it's getting fucking crazy.
It's a young man's game.
Yeah. Or stimulants. Young man's game or stimulant. Like I was just hopped up on just caffeine, only caffeine. I'm not going to go beyond that, but other people do. That's the problem with the scene. Anyway, that's my pick. What's your pick, Sid?
I was reminded that back in the day on the soundtrack to the movie Tank Girl, there was a duet by Joan Jett and Paul Westerberg of The Replacements. They covered the song Let's Do It, Let's Fall in Love. Mm-hmm. And I went back and listened to it, and it was great. So that's what I put on there. Paul Westerberg and Joan Jett on a lovely little cover song duet. And also, we have a user-submission this week.
User-submission.
From Livecast fan LaCroix. He picks the song Chest Pains by the band Party Rice. And says, this is one of my own band songs. It's a power violence hardcore project. And it's a song I wrote about having some bad heartburn from having so much LaCroix and alcoholic seltzers. LOL, cheers. So there's that. Darren, what's your pick?
Well, it's a coincidence. I played a song from my band as well. Ego. I played a song from Hector Lavoe, who's a Puerto Rican salsa performer. And he's a huge nerd. He's like a very not, you know, photogenic kind of guy. He's just like one of the, but he carved out a great career. He's one of like really the pioneers of salsa and 70s and 80s. And this song is called Mi Gente, but it's like, you know how you hear Mi Gente and it's like you think he's talking about Puerto Rican people or whatever.
I think he's talking about IO Digital Cable.
And it does come up, but it's like, it's really a song about sort of like being who you are and not, you know, my people are outcasts and like misfits, like, cause he's kind of like a huge nerd. Mm, okay, he'd be at nice. That goth convention if it was in Puerto Rico. I don't know.
do we think they have goth conventions in Puerto Rico?
Oh yeah. Oh, well get out of here.
There's plenty Latinos, of Puerto Ricans that are goth at these.
Yeah. Latinos are all about Day of the Dead, you know, like
isn't tracks. That more a Mexican thing?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like all Latinos are into
Wow, Rob, stereotype much?
I mean, maybe in America they all jump in and participate in it because white people are even doing it here. But that is a Mexican, I say Central American thing.
I feel like in Puerto Rico too. I saw a lot of skulls when I was in San Juan. A lot of skulls. A lot of skulls.
Well, skull fucking when you're on vacation.
Hey now.
R.I.P. By the way, this week is a preemptive R.I.P. to the former lead singer of Nitzareb. For whenever the liver finally gives out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And I guess that those are our picks. Also, I want to talk about our Patreon.
Oh, one other RIP. Rob ingesting psilocybin.
That's great. I was like, what? No, I'm still going to do that. Oh, wait. No, I get it. It's an acronym. So, Yeah, our Patreon, patreon.com/RAPLivecast. Every month, we post two bonus episodes. And you can check them out. We have over 4 years of episodes, almost 100 bonus episodes for you to listen to. All for $5 gets you access to all of them. And every month you get two new more. And you get to support your favorite three Jews from Brooklyn. Us! And all the money kind of goes back into doing stuff for the show. And buying us a drink or a nice Italian dinner or something like that. That'd be nice. And so patreon.com/RAPLivecast. This week, this month, the two bonus episodes are we do a watch-along of No Holds Barred, the Hulk Hogan movie, which was really fun to watch with you guys. And
that was
the first time I watched it as an adult.
That was April 1st?
No?
That feels like longer ago. Am I crazy?
Maybe. Sure. And then we just posted a roundtable discussion about the movie The Crow. And we thought it was going to be good, but it, in fact, was not good. And so... oh no! Our top of the month was the Cosmo, Queen of Melrose, and we really essentially inducted Cosmo into the Livecast Hall of Fame. Great episode. We also have that No Holds Barred watch along, and just posted a roundtable discussion about The Crow, where we all realized we all did not like The Crow.
Yeah.
And so we might be doing a watch along of The Crow coming up soon.
Just to confirm.
Yeah, it was silly.
Oh no, I don't need to confirm that. I just think it'll be funny to watch.
Just to make sure Brandon Lee is still dead, we're going to just watch it. Just to,
I just want to say to our audience, you know we love you. That I'm actually going to sit down and watch this a second time.
Yeah,
in the space of about a month. That's for the show. That's like almost like eating holodietz. Terrible movie.
Jellyfish.
And so, yeah, patreon.com/RIPLivecast. That would be lovely if you could support us. $10 a month, you get to be a top Livecast fan. And you get a shout out at the end of the show, which is right now. Also, I want to mention on the Patreon, every week, Sid does a TV recommendation column that you can check out. Sid tells you what to watch. RIP Livecast, top Livecast fans, how are we doing this?
Each one of them is a different type of goth that you saw at the show. And you just identify what type of goth they are.
Okay. Eric is just one of those like bondage goths.
Yeah.
Wearing the UFO pants and such. Benjamin, he's the guy dressed in all red as the devil. He is very beautiful. Dan R is, you have those extensions, like the pink and green fluorescent
in his hair.
Dreads extensions in the hair.
He's very beautiful.
Mindy Mayer's Kippa, you are just dressed in just like a full rubber suit.
Yeah.
just
except the kippa part is cut out. That's the only the kippa part, air
yeah
exposed
it's
the, part
yeah it's an inverse kippa. Mm-hmm. Essentially the rest of her is covered, and you know there's eyes and breathing holes, no mouth hole.
Very specific.
Shasur Sasusitz, you are one of those people that is like white goth. You're in all white gear, but it's still, you know, the
corpse late, paint,
you know, yeah, absolutely, yeah, it's just like inverse goth is your you're being
so goth
to the contradictor,
so goth you're not into goth at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Lando Danks, you're a traditionalist, you know, you've got the leather jacket on, you've got leather pants, you've got big boots, and you got like a ministry shirt on. LaCroix, you are doing the more sensual goth look. You got the fishnet shirt. You're like giving a Danzig vibe more. You're like a Danzig goth, I would say. Corey and Scotty H, you guys are doing your best. Peter Steele, you got the long hair. Aaron, you are doing just Crow cosplay goth. You are big in the Crow. That's what you showed up in. Douglas, who are you? Levison.
Tuxedo. Full on.
Okay, tuxedo. I was going to say full on bondage gear with the rubber ball in mouth.
Tuxedo with the ball gag.
Okay, tuxedo with the ball gag. That works. Jander, just naked. Naked in a thong, I'd say. Just the tightest thong, just to be legal. Just to be street legal. Randy Blad, you're just dressed normal. You didn't even know this was a goth convention.
He just showed up. He's working.
Rent the hotel room.
I will be doing a Crow cosplay, but I'm going to be Ernie Hudson.
Blackface?
No. Oh, why would you assume that, Sid? Dressed as a cop. How dare you? I didn't even know he was
it's
black.
The opposite of corpse paint. Everybody at the show is in whiteface. You could be the one in blackface.
I didn't even know he was black. I don't see color.
Well, anyway, that's our show, folks. We'll be back next week. Until then, thanks for tuning in. We love you. We kiss you. Bye-bye.
This is Reebok all night.